The Divided Self, Tiny Rider, Enormous Elephant. Before Freud, Plato and Buddha already talked about the divided self. Plato compared the mind to a charioteer steering wild horses, representing reason controlling passions. Freud updated this with ego as the driver, id as wild beasts pulling the carriage, and superego as the voice of authority, like a father telling the driver what's right and wrong. Buddha's metaphor of a rational rider on top of an irrational elephant also highlights this split mind concept. In split brain research, we've discovered that our brain's left hemisphere tends to create explanations for our behavior, even if it lacks accurate information. It does this automatically, without realizing it's making up a story. This function helps us make sense of things, often providing convincing narratives that seem logical. As our brains evolved over time, they transformed from reactive organs into powerful tools for reasoning and planning. This expansion allowed us to develop a deeper capacity for emotions, which scientists pinpoint to the orbitofrontal cortex. Damage to this area can leave individuals able to remember and reason, but unable to make decisions, causing their lives to unravel. Without the emotional reactions that give weight to our choices, decision-making becomes challenging. Comprehending automatic processes. Reason, the rider, is like a conscious process, control in our minds, while automatic processes, symbolized as the elephant, handle most of our physical, emotional, and mental functions. Ever wonder why random thoughts, especially of sexual or aggressive nature, pop into our heads at inconvenient times? Freud suggested our unconscious is dark and threatening, but recent research offers a simpler explanation. Automatic processes constantly produce these mental intrusions. The ones that stick and potentially become obsessive are usually the most shocking ones to us. While some of these thoughts might hint at hidden truths in our unconscious, they don't always reveal deep secrets. Behavior isn't usually guided by reasoning alone. Moral arguments and aesthetic preferences are driven by strong emotions. Changing someone's mind through logical arguments is tough because emotions have a stronger influence. It's akin to a situation where an elephant symbolizes emotions and a rider represents reasoning, both attempting to move forward together. While the rider can provide guidance, it's the elephant, embodying emotions, that ultimately determines the direction. Genes have a big say in whether you tend to be happy or prone to feeling down. This is your basic affective style, which can be adjusted to boost your happiness. While you can't directly control your genes, you can gradually reshape your behavior. Practices like meditation, cognitive therapy, or certain antidepressants can be a good starting point. If thoughts of losing make you unhappier, then thoughts of winning make you happy. It's time to let go of those negative thoughts and desires. Meditation is a powerful tool for calming your mind and training it to focus. It's especially helpful in easing persistent feelings of anger, fear, and depression. Changing your mind. Aaron Beck revolutionized therapy by challenging Freud's belief that adult conflicts stem from childhood. His cognitive therapy offers powerful tools to combat depression, anxiety, and negative thinking patterns. We all have inner stories, but Beck points out that depressed individuals tend to amplify setbacks, making them more personal, which fuels their depression further. Cognitive therapy focuses on recognizing and adjusting your internal dialogue for a more positive outlook. By changing your mindset, you can unlock the benefits of a brighter perspective. For some, medication serves as a helpful shortcut to kickstart this process of reframing the world in a positive light. Reciprocity with a vengeance. Language might have evolved to facilitate gossip, which involves sharing social information. This is because being successful in social hierarchies often hinges on having good social skills. Gossip triggers a reflex known as tit-for-tat. When someone shares positive gossip with you, you may feel a slight pressure to reciprocate. This reflects the golden rule deeply embedded in our behavior, which extends loyalty from family to a larger social group. We humans are inherently social beings, and reciprocity plays a crucial role in bonding us together. It forms the basis for gossip and even certain sales techniques. The tit-for-tat strategy is a way of cooperating. However, various studies indicate that without consequences, people tend to act selfishly and greedily. Many individuals are satisfied with the appearance of fairness, regardless of its truthfulness. It's a common human tendency to notice others' flaws more readily than our own. When this tendency extends to a group, it becomes clear why maintaining social harmony can be so challenging. Just as attacking an individual's self-esteem can lead to violence and cruelty, promoting group ideals of moral superiority can give rise to atrocities worldwide. This occurs when people believe the notion of pure evil, the faults of others. Judging others often stirs up fights, fury, and hurt feelings. Yet, our minds are wired to constantly assess what we like and dislike, like an elephant on the move. You can't just decide to be less judgmental, but through meditation or cognitive therapy, you can gradually train your mind to be less judgmental. Cognitive therapy helps you spot and change distorted thoughts. We all have ideas about how things should be. Cognitive therapy says these should thoughts can reveal a lot about our biases and judgments. The pursuit of happiness. Positive psychology's happiness formula tells us that our happiness is made up of three main ingredients: our genetic happiness set point, our life circumstances, and our voluntary actions. While our genetic set point is something we're born with, there are plenty of things we can do to boost our happiness. Building strong relationships with others and finding some sort of connection to spirituality or nature can play a big part in this. We often find joy in taking steps towards achieving our goals. But once we reach them, the happiness fades quickly and we're off chasing new goals. It's like a cycle. We get used to change, no matter how big, and revert to our usual way of feeling. However, there are ways to boost our happiness. For instance, we can make changes in our surroundings to reduce noise or work on reducing feelings of shame. Building strong relationships and learning to manage stress also play a big role. Some things, like our gender or age, we can't change, but there are plenty of voluntary activities we can engage in to keep our happiness levels up. Learning something new or going on a vacation can give us that sense of progress and excitement we need to stay happy. The key is to keep moving forward and develop change without getting bored. We all engage in life with goals, aiming to make things happen. Positive psychologists suggest that experiencing flow occurs when we tackle challenges that match our abilities. In this state, our inner motivations and actions align seamlessly, akin to a well-coordinated elephant and rider. While short-term pleasures offer sensory and emotional gratification, lasting fulfillment arises from mastering skills and making progress. Those who steer their own course or engage in work that utilizes their strengths tend to find greater satisfaction in their endeavors. Love and attachments. Understanding how our childhood attachment styles shape our adult emotional connections is key to fostering happiness. By recognizing these patterns, we gain power to influence them positively. Small acts of kindness can significantly boost our mood. Leveraging our strengths to enhance relationships and showing gratitude can elevate our overall happiness. The uses of adversity. Understanding tragedy is a deeply human pursuit. We often seek to find a reason behind it, hoping that those affected somehow deserved it. However, reality shows us otherwise. Our innate desire for fairness can sometimes lead us astray, but it's how we process trauma. We've all heard that adversity builds resilience, but it's not just about enduring it, it's about how we respond. Optimistic people tend to fare better in tough times. They tap into their inner strength to face challenges head on. You don't have to be naturally optimistic to bounce back from trauma, but you do need to make sense of it. One way to do this is through writing. By putting our thoughts and feelings into words, we can better understand the impact of the event on our lives. Sometimes, turning to a spiritual perspective can help us make sense of trauma. It allows us to reframe it as a meaningful experience that can lead to healing. The felicity of virtue. The virtue hypothesis suggests that being virtuous leads to greater happiness. Many influential figures like Epicurus, Buddha, Ben Franklin, and even Machiavelli supported this idea, albeit with different perspectives. They believed in the power of living virtuously, with Machiavelli emphasizing the importance of appearing virtuous. Throughout history, wise individuals have conveyed this wisdom using stories and examples of heroes to appeal directly to our emotions. However, there's no quick fix. Developing virtue takes time and consistent effort, building good habits gradually. Science tends to simplify complex ideas into one overarching principle. While this approach has led to the creation of effective societal rules that benefit many, it also tends to overlook the importance of virtuous character traits. The shift from character ethics to quandary ethics weakens the concept of morality. Instead of striving for virtue in everything, virtue becomes something that depends on the situation. Teaching people how to think about moral dilemmas doesn't really change anything because it ignores our emotions altogether. In Western culture, we've always favored rational thinking over the wisdom of feelings and habits. We tend to see emotions as barriers to clear thinking. While reason can guide us, it's our emotions that really drive us forward. They're like the elephant in the room. Shift in societal values. Sociologist James Hunter highlights how society has shifted from valuing traits like self-control, hard work, and sacrificing for the greater good, to focusing on individual gratification through mass consumption. Instead of prioritizing character and its virtues, we now prioritize personality traits with little moral significance. While most Americans support diversity in demographics, they're less open to diversity in morals. A harmonious society can be achieved by emphasizing common values: divinity, with or without God. Our connections with family and friends are one dimension of our lives. Another dimension is our societal status and where we stand in hierarchies. But there's a third dimension that adds depth to our existence and lifts our spirits. This dimension is our perception of divinity, something seen across cultures and history. This perception involves seeing ourselves as either higher, akin to gods, or lower, akin to animals. Living virtuously helps us ascend to this higher dimension. Moments of spiritual or peak experiences can make us feel deeply connected and filled with awe. Our natural drive for success, not necessarily happiness, often gets in the way. Our inner voice, always chattering, can block us from these uplifting experiences. Cultivating spirituality demands discipline, something our inner selves might resist. Physical traits change slowly, like how we look and our bodies work, but cultural traits change fast. Some cultures think it's important for people to be independent, while others think being loyal to your group is key. The ethic of divinity is about nurturing the best parts of us. These different ideas about what's right lead to a lot of arguments between liberals and conservatives. Culture itself evolves, like how we learn and pass on knowledge. Religion is one way cultures stick together, making people feel more loyal to the group. This helps groups survive better. This idea helps us understand why people can be selfish or kind. Mystical experiences make us feel like we're part of something bigger. Happiness comes from between. Happiness stems from having the right conditions in place. We exist as individuals, part of social groups, and as spiritual beings all at once. When these aspects of our lives are in harmony, happiness follows. By understanding ourselves in these different contexts, we gain insight into how people find purpose and happiness in life. This understanding helps us identify what actions we can take to lead happier lives. Key points. 1. Minds, like a rider atop an elephant, balance reason and emotion, guiding decisions. 2. Split brain research shows the left hemisphere constructs explanations without accurate data. 3. Cognitive therapy and meditation reshape mindset for positive thinking and emotional health. 4. Happiness results from genetics, circumstances, and voluntary actions, urging positive habits. 5. Virtue and character ethics underpin happiness, emphasizing moral values and growth. 6. Societal shifts towards individual gratification challenge traditional values. 7. Spirituality and awe generate happiness and connection to a higher dimension of existence.